Hello, welcome into this Tuesday snake-free edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here with you. I'm your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity for Tuesday, the 20th day of October, 2020. Oh, you got it. Good. And, sorry. The studio dog is being preoccupied and distracting me. I did this thing today, which I know better than to do, okay? I just know better than to do this. And that is to bring a toy to the studio with the dog, because she spends her time going crazy and playing with the toy, and then she wants me to play with her. And so today, Princess Shaggy Feet, Kimber the Wonder Dog, hey baby, she's got her squeak toy right here. You go. And she's in her chair. She's being very good. She's staying in her chair, playing with her squeak toy. And you will probably hear her from time to time. So I'm just giving you a heads up. If you hear that squeaking noise, or you hear some other noise besides me yakking, it's her playing with her toy. I've done this before, and I forgot. This. See, there she goes. I forgot what she does. And so, okay, here. Come here. Let me deal with her for a second. Here, you want it? Here we go. Here, go get it. Go. Atta girl. Go get it. And now she'll go off there and play with it someplace else. Or she'll come sit right under me. And she'll sit under me and squeak it. Oh my gosh, I made a mistake. Anyway, and the reason I did that is because her toy was right at the door of the studio when we came in, and it got her attention. And I said, okay, we'll bring it with us. I was being nice. And she is taking advantage of it. So, oh, well, there we are. It is a snake-free Tuesday. I during the middle of yesterday's podcast, I took the little freeloader out and set him loose in the azalea bushes outside. And he is now fending for himself in the wild somewhere. By this time, he's probably been strangled to death by the wisteria, which I believe is its own kind of sci-fi monster. And if you're new to the podcast, wisteria is something that I fight constantly. I haven't made a big deal about it here. I've probably talked about it once or twice in the span of 303 shows. But the previous owner of this house, the people who built it, actually it was my mom and my stepdad had built this house. And I'll get into that long story later about how that all happened. The short version of that story is that after my stepfather Don passed away, after several years, my mom met someone else. She got married. He needed to live somewhere in a specific area to be very close to where it was he worked, because he was involved in the medical system in Birmingham, in one of the teaching hospitals and he needed to be very close by. Does that make sense to you? I don't know if it does or not. Anyway, he needed to be very close. So she found a house and then remodeled it and moved out and put this one on the market. And it sat on the market for over a year. And at that time, the real estate market was kind of soft. And my wife and I were looking to get out of a house that we had been in. And we moved out of that one. And we took this one. We've been here for over 10 years. And in that time, I have learned to absolutely, with every fiber of my being, hate wisteria. And you're thinking, oh, but it's so pretty. The flowers are, yeah. Wisteria is kudzu with pretty flowers. That's what it is. It grows really fast. You can't kill it unless, no, you can't kill it. There's just no way around that. You can't kill wisteria. I have tried. Trust me, I have tried. I've cut it down. It grows back. I've poisoned it. It just sprouts elsewhere. It sends runners out, and those runners, you don't know where they are. I have found runners. When I was mowing grass over the weekend, I found half a dozen runners running across an area that I scalped unintentionally. I lowered the mowing deck a little too far when I went over a certain area. And when I came back through that area, I looked down and went, oh, man, look at that. And it's so wisteria spreads out and it just, it climbs everywhere, and it wraps itself around trees and chokes them off and kills them. I've got two dogwoods in my yard right now, which are dying because of the wisteria. It's a constant fight. So I suspect that that my little pal, Sam the Snake, yesterday is out fending for his life and fighting off wisteria at this very moment. That's probably what's happening. At any rate, welcome to Tuesday. Good to have you along. I hope you are well. I hope all of your loved ones are well and everything is good with you, and that you had a great day yesterday, and yada, yada, yada. And my day yesterday was spent, yesterday was one of those great days where I got through with the necessity of what I do here and was able to pretty much do what I wanted to do. And as a result, I binge watched a few movies yesterday, and it's been a while since I watched the end, or not the absolute end, but the last two movies of the Avengers franchise. And I watched Infinity War over the weekend and watched Endgame yesterday, and I forgot how sad it was. And I just tell you, you really don't think you're going to get emotional about a jerk like Tony Stark, but you do. And let's see, what else was there? I binged a few YouTube videos and such, and then my wife had to work late, so we ended up having a late supper, and she fell asleep watching a YouTube video, and it was an end to a day, you know. So we wrapped everything up, and it really was not much of a day. I had early on, I had plans. I wanted to get out with the drone and do some things, but the problem was I sat down, and when I sat down, I thought, oh, this is good. after being busy all weekend working around the house, I just decided yesterday I was going to just chill. Not so much for today. I got to get out. I got things I got to do, places to go, and the like. So I won't have that luxury today, but such is the life of being mostly retired. It is, it's an interesting day in the neighborhood. There's so much to talk about. I have, let me pull up my show notes here. By the way, let me mention this once, and that is that you can get show notes. All of the articles that I read through and comment to you about during the course of a podcast, I do my best to put all of the links in the daily show notes. I make those show notes available at the website, dailyperspectivepodcast.com. You can go there right now and find the show notes unless you're listening live. If you're on Facebook Live this morning, that'll be right after. I mean, within 10 minutes of the end of the live feed, the show notes will be up. Maybe before. And the reason that I say that way is because sometimes I do end up editing down and removing some stuff from the show notes that I don't get to, because I'll have a list of items to talk about. And usually I don't get to everything, but I include everything I get to in the daily show notes. And sometimes I only even throw in what I don't get to. Usually that's on a Friday. I'll just say, okay, you can have everything that I didn't get to, because I'm not going to go back on Monday and pull 3-day-old stories. See what I mean? Okay. Anyway, get the show notes today at dailyperspectivepodcast.com. I mentioned Juan Williams yesterday. I hope to get to him today. Biden's shoot suspects in the leg thing, I really do want to get to that because it's so idiotic, and I need to talk about that today. Joe Biden's tax plan. Can I just say this about his tax plan? On social media, when you talk to people and you tell them, yeah, I don't want my taxes to go up, they tell you, well, unless you make over $400,000 a year, they're not going to go up. Well, that's a lie that a lot of people believe, because Joe Biden has clearly said he's going to repeal Donald Trump's tax cuts. You benefited from those tax cuts. I benefited from those tax cuts. We all benefited from those tax cuts. And Joe Biden has said he's going to repeal those tax cuts. But when you say that to someone online, one of your social media liberal progressive friends, they say, oh, that's not true. That's not true at all. Unless you make $400,000 and above, they're just parroting the line they're being given. And the thing is that at the very beginning that is actually true. They the way the tax plan is set up, your taxes won't go up at the beginning, but they will later. Those who have actually studied the Biden tax plan are saying your taxes are going to go up. They won't go up at the beginning, but later on they will. And you can look back with confidence over the history of Democrat campaign promises, and they will always say they're not going to raise your taxes unless you make X amount of dollars. And they always raise your taxes. Always. At some point, they will come back to you and say, in order to do the things we need to do for the good of these people, this particular segment of society, we need some more tax revenue. So we all need to sacrifice for the good of these people. And they will have a class of victims, which you will be able to participate in helping by the raising of your taxes. And it happens that way every time there's a Democrat, or I should just say a progressive administration. George Bush Sr. campaigned on the promise of no new taxes. Read my lips, no new taxes. And then, really, not long after he had been in office, he came to the American people and said, I can't do what we need to do unless we raise taxes, so we're going to do this. And he tried to paint it as a positive thing. And that is because he was a progressive. He lied to get in office. He knew in order to do what he wanted to do, he would have to raise taxes. But he lied anyway. It happens on both sides of the aisle. That's what I'm saying. Now, if you're a Trump supporter, you already know that there is some unhinged hatred for you. And that on the left, if you make comments in social media or in polite conversation, you find out very quickly how badly you are hated. Well, there's a newspaper in Connecticut that has run an editorial that says, if you're a Trump supporter, you are a racist. Every single Trump supporter supports racism. It's from TheBlaze.com. Phil Shiver writes this. The editorial board at the Hartford Courant officially endorsed Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden for president on Sunday, and in doing so called every last supporter of President Trump a racist. The story's headline stated, you probably think you can vote for Donald Trump and not support racism. Here's why you're wrong. Then, after briefly stating that there are many reasons not to endorse Trump, the editors dove in to the, quote, one issue that demands a closer look as we approach Election Day, racism. President Trump's views on race and his willingness to exploit deep-rooted divisions are well documented. He jump-started his 2016 campaign by equating Mexicans with rapists and drug dealers. No, he did not. When racist violence erupted at Charlottesville, Virginia, a Charlottesville, Virginia white supremacist rally, Trump said there were very fine people on both sides. That is also a bald-faced lie. And most recently, when asked during a debate with Biden to denounce white nationalism, Trump said it was time for the militaristic hate group, the Proud Boys, to step back, but also to stand by. That alone should frighten you, but right about now is when some of you are probably saying that you don't subscribe to that kind of racist invective Trump uses to fire up his base. You believe in the free market and low taxes, or you're against abortion, or you just don't trust Democrats. But on race? You believe that all men and women are created equal. I see the person, you say, not the color of their skin. There's more, and I'm not going to skip the rest of it because you need to hear it. And we'll get into more of this on the other side of the break. And the reason that I want to share this with you today is because it's important. And it's important because this is how the progressives actually think. And this is the way they see you. They honestly, sincerely, wholeheartedly believe that Donald Trump is a racist and you are a racist for supporting him.
So I had a fight in the middle of your Black Panther party.
It's the Tuesday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Thank you so much for joining the fun today. Thank you for subscribing. And thanks for sharing with your friends. And if you haven't shared with your friends, please do. You know what? I get it. I understand that telling other people about your preferred conservative sources of information can be a dicey thing. It really can. You're taking a chance. It's the roll of the dice. Sometimes you just don't know if they're going to lash out at you or not. And that's why so many conservative people aren't responding to surveys. So the surveys are skewed. But you know who your trusted friends are. Let them know. Share the podcast. Let them know. Tell them to give it 2 weeks because, hey, I'm like everybody else. I have my good days. I have my bad days. And I realize some days I listen back to every podcast. I'll end up getting out and running around and doing business while I'm out. You know, I'll be out and about and I will listen to the day's podcast. And there are often days when I put my face in my hands and go, God, let that get out. because I know better. And sometimes some days are gems and some days are lumps of coal. I'm the first to admit that. But give it a couple of weeks. Just give it a couple of weeks. I think you'll understand where I'm coming from by then. Or your friends will understand where you're coming from. And they'll probably hang on like you have. All righty. We were talking about this thing that's happened in Connecticut with the Connecticut Hartford Courant endorsing Joe Biden because you're a racist. Now, I've already mentioned they talked about the very fine people thing. They talked about equating Mexicans with rapists and drug dealers. Let me just touch back on that for a moment. What he actually said is, well, not exact words, but what he said was that there were rapists and drug dealers coming across the border amidst those people that were getting smuggled in. They're rapists and drug dealers. He said, Mexico, we're not getting the finest people. Their best people are not coming across the borders. And so he was trying to illustrate the fact that the people who are sneaking into the country, mixed in with the people sneaking into the country, are people we really don't want here. Because there are rapists and drug dealers mixed in with those people. And we've been hearing report after report after report of women who are coming across who have been in caravans, who've been smuggled into the country, and they talk about being raped. They talk about their children being taken from them, and not by us, but children being sold into human trafficking. And so we have all of this to go back on. That's what he was talking about. And, of course, the Charlottesville lie. Even in the article, it says this, side note, the oft-repeated invocation that Trump referred to neo-Nazis and white nationalists at a 2017 riot in Charlottesville, Virginia, as very fine people is a flat-out lie. Now, moving forward, the full context of the remarks as reported by PolitiFact show that Trump clarified during his remarks saying, you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists because they should be condemned totally, but you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists. As for Trump's Proud Boys remarks, he would later clarify that too, saying that the alt-right group should stand down and let law enforcement do its work. Furthermore, despite the left-wing media's insistence that he hasn't, Trump has readily condemned white supremacism. And I have to say that I have posted links to this several times on Facebook and Twitter. And I believe I actually posted the video to dailyperspectivepodcast.com. There's a video compilation of all the times. And it goes back years. He has condemned white supremacy over and over and over again. But the press keeps asking him about it. And I think I think Kevin Sorbo on Twitter the other day put it really well. And the way he illustrated it was, suppose I ask you if you're a racist today. And you say, of course not, I'm not a racist. And then tomorrow I come back and ask you again, are you a racist? And I do that every day, in spite of the fact that you deny it every time. I ask you every day if you're a racist. You are, of course, eventually going to get sick and tired of me asking you that question. And it's going to start making you angry. And that's what we're seeing happen. The press, as I've said before, not long ago, the press asks that question not for clarification, but as an accusation. They're making an accusation. It's a, did you stop beating your wife question, is what it is. It's an accusation. They're not looking for an answer. They're not looking for a change of heart or a change of mind. They're making an accusation. And that's what it is. Back to the article. Alas, moving on from their misleading portrait of Trump as a bona fide racist, the Hartford Courant editors insist. They insisted that all those who support him are racist, too. They acknowledged politics is always about compromise, but Trump's racism isn't the same, not even close. The difference now in 2020 is that Donald Trump doesn't just exploit racism, he revels in it. Trump wears his whiteness like a badge of honor and plays his affinity for groups like the Proud Boys and other agents of racial hatred for applause. Trump doesn't simply mine the racial divide for political advantage. He treats it like a worldview to be celebrated and adored. End quote. As such, whoever votes for Trump is not an innocent party, but a guilty participant in the proliferation of racist practices. The editorial goes on and says, you can't support Trump without supporting the racism that forms the bedrock of his political persona. You may not think of yourself as promoting racism if you vote for Trump, but you are giving comfort and aid to the hateful among us. Well, I bet you didn't know that, Trump supporters. You'll likely change your vote now. And that's the end of the article. As I said, that is from TheBlaze.com by Phil Shiver. It's an article called Connecticut Paper Runs Editorial Claiming Every Last Trump Voter Supports Racism. Now, having heard the article, you understand that this is nothing but opinion. And it's opinion based on delusional fantasy, not fact. It's not an opinion based on reality. It's an opinion based on what they perceive to be true, not what is actually true. And in their little bubble, they keep repeating the same information back and forth to each other and reinforcing each other's opinion. They're practicing the most intense form of confirmation bias. They're constantly reinforcing what they hope to be true about who they hate and comforting each other. And this is what we find on the left constantly. You don't find fact. You don't find reality. You find bias and you find fantasy. They ignore the fact that Trump employs multiples of minorities in high positions in his corporations. They ignore the fact of what he has done for black colleges, for the black community. They ignore the fact that he has helped people unjustly accused, convicted, and imprisoned of crimes who are minorities. They ignore the facts and insist, oh, that's all just a cover. He just wants your vote, so that's a cover. Well, the way I see it is if Donald Trump is a racist, he sucks at it. He's really, really bad at being a racist. Joe Biden, on the other hand, he slips up almost weekly and says something that has its roots in his racist past. As a Democrat, his party is the party of racism. The Democrat Party founded the KKK as a militant arm. The Democrat Party has advocated racism from its beginnings, and only took a step to the side and dressed itself differently when President Lyndon Johnson decided there was no way they could win the civil rights issue. So in order to win votes and to continue getting power, they had to embrace the civil rights issue and champion the cause of the downtrodden and be their heroes. They had to own civil rights. And he said so in a meeting with his people, and he referred to the blacks by the N-word. If we do this right, those N-words will be voting for us for 200 years. So we can see from that one example alone that when the Democrats accuse others of racism, they realize how abhorrent it is to the majority of American people. And so they're using the racism label as an attack on someone. They use it when it is not true because they know how nasty it is. And they know how nasty it is because they're racists themselves. And they know that they can't win if people know they're racists. So they accuse others of racism to keep them from winning. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. Back from the break, diving into the second half of this Tuesday, October 20th edition. I just stumbled across something during the break while scanning social media. I want to pass this along before I get to what I was going to share with you. Todd Starnes used to be a Fox News commentator. Ended up leaving Fox News. And he owns a radio station in Memphis now, and he is nationally syndicated. He's on 60-something stations across America. And I've made no bones about it here. I'm actually not a big Todd Starnes fan. But when he's right, he's right. And I want to pass that along to you. And this is one of his commentaries. This will just take a couple of minutes at the tops, okay? This is a comment. Actually, it's dated today. And it's about something that happened to a conservative guy who is now literally, truthfully, a victim. Jonathan Rempel is a fourth-generation farmer growing crops on land just north of Sutton, Nebraska. He's also a supporter of President Trump, and Mr. Rempel proudly flies Trump flags from his tractor and combine. The other day, he was taking his kids to school when he got a call from the volunteer fire department. Someone had set fire to his tractor and combine. Two semis were also set ablaze. Harvest is in full swing, and that makes the fire even worse. Mr. Rempel wrote on Facebook, "We are devastated and crushed by the enormous loss we face from this fire, but at the same time are incredibly blessed to be from rural America, where the people are the best." It's no surprise that the family has been overwhelmed by neighbors looking to help lend a helping hand. He wrote, "These people are already stretched thin, are stressed and tired, but are taking time to reach out and offer help and aid in a time of need. We are so incredibly blessed by everyone." The state fire marshal is investigating along with local authorities, and a lot of folks are wondering if those Trump flags might have had something to do with the attack. But as of this reporting, that has not been established. Let's hope those responsible are brought to justice. Meantime, the harvest must go on, and that means the Rempel family needs our help. And there's a link to click to go to their GoFundMe page, and I'll include that in the show notes today. This will be there. So make sure you get that. This is a farmer. This is a guy who gets up before daylight and works until after dark during the harvest season, and actually during the planting season as well, to make sure that Americans and people from other nations have food on their tables. This guy is growing food. Food that the arsonist probably eats. And the arsonist, the anti-Trump arsonist, is so short-sighted and has such a narrow view of the world around him. They can't see what they've done. Is to hurt themselves. And that is who we're dealing with. We're dealing with idiots. And those idiots are not only anonymous people who burn tractors just because they don't like a political candidate. They're also people who are in politics. Such as in Michigan. the Democratic governor, Gretchen Whitmer. She has said that if Americans are weary of coronavirus lockdowns, and we all are, aren't you tired of being locked down? I know I am. I'm sick and tired of it. I am sick and tired of having to grab a mask from the console of my car before I can go into a store. I'm sick and tired of seeing the signs on the doors that saying entry prohibited without a mask. I'm sick and tired of being told I can't go and gather with hundreds of people for a Sunday morning church service. I'm sick and tired of not being able to spend a few dollars and go see a movie in a theater, because my theater is a Regal theater, and Regal, because of shutdowns, has closed many of their theaters, and mine is one of them. I'm sick and tired of being counted. Has this bothered you? It's bothered me. You go to a Walmart or some other large retailer, and there's someone at the door with an iPad or something, and they're ticking off the number of people who are coming in the door and the number of people who are going out the door to make sure that only a certain number of people can be there. I'm sick and tired of it. I feel like I'm being watched all the time. I'm being counted all the time. I'm being judged all the time. I'm sick of it. And I know you probably are too. I know that most Americans, real Americans, who understand the value of liberty, we're sick of it. Oh, but we have to do this for the sake of... No, we do not. The science, you remember that thing that the progressives all tell us they believe in? Well, I believe the science. Really? If you believe the science, you'd be paying attention to the many, 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 many in the medical and scientific fields who are saying the masks you're being forced to wear to get into the places you need to get into all the time don't make any difference. In fact, the vast majority of new cases of coronavirus are people who have been wearing masks. The masks aren't doing any good. We've had this talk before. We're being locked down for political control. That's the only reason. And I know I sound like a doomsday prepper. I sound like a conspiracy theorist, but I'm not. I promise you, I've told you before, I'm not. And I'm not. I can't take those people with enough seriousness. I just can't. But I am someone who has appreciated his liberty, his freedom, for his entire life. And the day they said, we're going to do this for 15 days, I knew we would be doing this for months upon months. Because when you give progressives in government that kind of control, they don't let go of it. They just don't. And now, from over at The Blaze, Dave Urbanski writes an article, and I want to share it with you. Michigan Governor, Democrat Governor Gretchen Whitmer said that if Americans are weary of coronavirus lockdowns and the fallout from socioeconomic restrictions related to the pandemic, they should vote for Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden on Election Day instead of President Trump. Quote, if you're tired of lockdowns, or you're tired of wearing masks, or you wish you were in church this morning, or watching college football, or your kids were in person, were in-person instruction, it is time for change in this country, and that's why we've got to elect Joe Biden. So said Governor Whitmer to Chuck Todd on Meet the Press Sunday. Whitmer blasted Trump during the interview, accusing the president of inciting violence and not doing his job. Quote, the Trump virus response is the worst in the globe. I mean, in the world. It's the worst. 8 million people have contracted COVID-19. 220,000 dead. We've got people in food pantry lines who never would have imagined that they'd be there. And no light on the horizon, because our numbers keep going up. This is a gravely serious moment for all of us. Let me stop there for a moment and just clarify two things. One, people in food pantry lines are there because of you, Governor Whitmer, not President Trump. President Trump's been trying to open the country. He's been trying to encourage people to open up, to get back to normal. You, on the other hand, are doing everything within your power and beyond your power to keep people's liberty locked up. And as for the fact that numbers keep going up, the numbers are going up because of what you insisted on. You insisted on more testing. We must have more testing. You and your progressive political friends harped on more and more and more testing. It's vital we have more testing. Well, the more we test, the more cases of coronavirus we find. Because it's everywhere. It's everywhere. So, Governor Whitmer is talking about, is blaming President Trump for things that the Democrats have done to us. Some Twitter users who commented on the Meet the Press clip said Whitmer's insistence on Americans voting for Biden if they wanted lockdowns to end and if they want to go back to church sounds like a thinly veiled ultimatum. Quote, wait, so if we elect Biden, magically we'll be able to lift lockdowns, stop wearing masks, and go back to church? That's all we have to do, elect Biden? Something smells like a lie here. Another said, so is she basically admitting that they are punishing us unless we vote for Biden? That's what it sounds like to me. Another said, I'd rather be locked down for the next 4 years than put a criminal who sells out America with our tax dollars into office. No thanks. Another asked, so what's her point? She's holding people hostage until Trump is out? Dictator much? In part of her interview not shown in the video that's linked to this article, please get the show notes. Whitmer said Trump is inciting domestic terrorism due to her lockup, due to lock her up chance at his Michigan rally Saturday night, and that his words are incredibly disturbing. Whitmer told Meet the Press, the president is at it again in inspiring and incentivizing and inciting this kind of domestic terrorism, according to the AP. it is wrong. It's got to end. It's dangerous. It's not just for me and my family, but for public servants everywhere who are doing their jobs and trying to protect their fellow Americans. People of goodwill on both sides of the aisle need to step up and call this out and bring the hate down. You know what's funny about that statement? Is that when you do research and you look into who is being attacked, the people being attacked are not progressives. The people who are being threatened are not progressives. The people who are being shut down on social media, who are being ostracized, who are being pointed out and told and painted as and with targets painted on them by politicians are not progressives. They're all conservatives. Now, Governor Whitmer has had this little incident where they found some people who were supposedly looking to kidnap her. But what the press has not told you is that some of those people were Black Lives Matter supporters. They've marched with BLM. They're anarchists, not conservatives. They actually identify with the anarchy going on, which wants destruction. It doesn't care who it destroys. It just wants destruction. And now she's saying, hey, if you want all this to stop, you better elect Joe. That does sound like a threat, doesn't it? It does sound like we're being held hostage, and in order to be set free, in order to have all the bondage lifted, we have to vote for the Democrat candidate. I think she's unintentionally spilled the beans, don't you?
You're listening to the Daily Perspective Podcast.
Welcome back. Dropping into this final segment for Tuesday, the 20th day of October 2020. It's 10/20/2020. Yeah. And I'm looking at what I have left. I have the stuff left in my list. I've got four items left in my list. As usual, I'm not going to get to all of them. And let me just tell you which ones I'm tossing, okay? Police rip Biden's repeated advice to shoot him in the leg. I've talked about this before. The reason police are trained to shoot in the chest is it's the center of mass of the body. It's the biggest target. It's the easiest hit. The job is to stop what's going on for the safety of the people around. that's what the job is to do. If this person is a danger to other people and is not responding to police commands, then the job is to stop the danger. To shoot at the leg is to shoot at something that's constantly moving. It's hard to hit. And if there are people around, when that bullet doesn't hit the leg, it's going to hit something else, ricochet, hit somebody, possibly. Could injure somebody else. Also, the femoral artery in the leg, you hit that, the guy's going to bleed out. He'll be dead before help can get there. That's not what they want. They want the person to stop. And when there's multiple shots fired, it means in the situation, the judgment was, it was necessary. But it all goes center mass. And that's why Joe Biden is an idiot. He's destructively, dangerously incompetent. That's why he says what he says. That'll be in show notes today. The article will be there. Go look at it. Another one, Juan Williams published an op-ed claiming Trump is planning to thwart democracy. I encourage you to read this article, okay? I don't have time to get to it today, but I want you to read it. It's going to be in show notes. Make sure you read this article today because you need to see where Juan Williams is coming from. I know he's like a burr under your saddle when you see him on television, on panels, on Fox News and the like, but you need to see what this guy is actually saying, what he really believes. And it'll make a lot of sense when you're watching him on TV, when you understand this is what he believes. Because he is a brain-damaged progressive. And you'll see that when you read the article. It'll be at show notes today at dailyperspectivepodcast.com. And then finally, why pro-life evangelicals cannot vote for Biden. It's an article on PJ Media by Paula Ballyard. And you need to read this article. I may actually bring it back and talk about it tomorrow because we're being told that you need to vote for Joe Biden. They're trotting out people and saying that these people are evangelicals and they're pro-life and they're voting for Biden. And I actually saw a post by someone who claimed to be a pastor encouraging evangelical people to vote for Biden. I just need to tell you, if you see a pastor claiming to be an evangelical Christian encouraging you to vote for Biden, then that person is a fraud. Because no person with a real personal relationship with Christ himself can look at Joe Biden, his record, and who he associates himself and tell you it's good to vote for this person. You can't. That article, I'll put it in show notes today. May come back to it tomorrow. And finally, the one I'm actually going to get to is about Candace Owens. Now, Diddy, remember P. Diddy? Yeah, he's created his own party, political party called the Black Party, and he's encouraging everybody who joins his party to vote for Joe Biden. Well, over at DailyWire.com, Amanda Prestigiacomo, that's her name, great Italian name, has written an article a few days ago about this entire situation. And here's what she says. Conservative author and commentator Candace Owens blasted music mogul Diddy's announcement to start a black political party, asserting that the party is evidence that the Democratic Jim Crow era is making a comeback. She said on Twitter, "I have said for the last 3 years that the Democrats have gotten clever enough to teach black Americans to segregate themselves. Diddy launching our black party while NYU students seek black-only dorms is proof that the Democratic Jim Crow era is making a comeback. The same racist Democrats that told us that Make America Great Again was racist will be telling blacks that our black party is virtuous. Stay awake, black America. Look out for Jim Crow in wolf's clothing," she warns. Diddy, his real name, Sean John Combs, announced Friday his new Our Black Party, ironically in the same breath that he scolded President Donald Trump for dividing Americans. He also endorsed Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden for 2020. Biden, notably, told black Americans they ain't black if they haven't already made up their mind that they're going to support him in 2020. Diddy wrote, Diddy, by the way, he used to be publicly friendly with Trump before he ran for president. He wrote, the number one priority is to get Trump out of office. He has to go. We can't allow this man to continue to try and divide us. The people that have the most responsibility and should be scared to death of this man are white people. We are on the verge of a race war. Things have gotten too serious. It would be irresponsible of me to have us hold our vote hostage, but it would also be irresponsible of me to let this moment go by and not make sure going forward that we are doing what it takes to own our politics. We need to get Biden in and hold him accountable. Trump has taken things too far. As black people, we aren't even a topic of real discussion. We can no longer stand for doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. That's insanity. It's time we unify. And then he announced the launch of our Black Party, emphasizing you can either be Democrat or Republican to be part of it, but suggesting you must have black skin. Let me back up a second. We need to get Biden in and hold him accountable. Good luck, Diddy. Good luck, Diddy. Good luck. Have fun with that. You will not be able to hold him accountable because Joe Biden is doing what every Democrat has ever done when courting your vote. He's lying to you. He's telling you he is your hero, that you are the victim, that you are downtrodden, and that you need him in order to succeed in America. He is lying to you, just like every Democrat running for office has always lied to you. Since Lyndon Johnson decided the only way to win the black vote was to court the black vote and pretend to care about them, Democrats have been lying to you. It has not changed. It's the same today. And Joe Biden is still lying to you, Diddy. And you're helping him enslave your people. He said, I'm launching one of the boldest things I've ever launched. I'm launching a black political party with some young black elected officials and activists. It's called Our Black Party. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. The mission is to create a platform to help advance a political agenda that addresses the needs of black people. So going forward, we aren't in the same position we are today. Now, Ice Cube unapologetically worked with the Trump administration on their Platinum Plan, a plan aimed at bolstering prosperity for black Americans. The Biden campaign reached out to Ice Cube, he claims, but said they'd work with him post-election, whereas Trump worked with Ice Cube right away. You see, the Trump administration has been working with black Americans to do good for black Americans. The Trump administration has been doing the right thing. You don't know a lot about what they've been doing because the progressive press doesn't care. Because it's Trump. The orange man is bad, and nothing he does can be good. That's the basic mentality. And you know this from dealing with your friends and social media. Nothing he does can be good because he's bad. It's an idiotic position. It's an idiotic view. But then again, progressivism is idiotic. It denies the fact that the things that they have promised for decades and generations, which have been tried and tried and tried again, have always failed because they don't understand how the world really works. They're just like children who say, well, this is the way it should work. Their ignorance hurts people all around them, and they continue to hurt people. They deny that they were wrong. They blame other people. They say the wrong people tried it. The wrong people did this. Our opposition thwarted our efforts at every turn. We were unsuccessful because of these evil people or those evil people. They always blame others when their plans fail, rather than owning the fact that their plans are deeply flawed. And even when they have faced no opposition. They have failed. I won't point to Venezuela, but you can go look there if you want. Look in Europe for other examples. Look in Asia for examples. Look around the world. When you give progressives power, they never let it go. And if you don't believe that, go to Walmart and look at the signs on the door. They're not letting go of their power because they can control you and make you wear a mask now. Imagine what else they'll do if you keep giving them power. Hey, that's all for today. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. Come back tomorrow for more. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.